You know, that song is not a message of defeat. It's a message of acknowledgement that for me to have victory, I need the Lord to know that I can't make it on my own. I'm going to need His help to be able to make it. And with this subject that I have for us today to look at, we also will need His help to be able to make it. The subject I'd like for us to look at, and we all have to deal with it, I believe, every day, is thoughts. Can we control them? Can I please God with the direction that they go? And what does the, whenever we sing that song, I cannot find the way without thee, does the scripture give me direction, a positive attitude that I can control this area of my life? I'd like to start there. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, and the 4th verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Have you ever had your thoughts to become, it was nothing more than just a little passing thought at first, but I kept it until it became a stronghold, one that I'm thinking about day and night. You know, just political things can do that. It was nothing more than a news article that I read. I could have done anything with that, just read it and let it go. Or I let it become a part of who I am. I'm thinking it. I'm making decisions from it. But this one says, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty. What if the Lord said you just won't be able to control your thoughts? They can go wherever they want to and you have nothing you can do about it. But instead, it says they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These weapons will help us to be able to cast down imaginations. How many of your thoughts, of my thoughts, after I let them work themselves out over a period of time, instead of being real as I thought they would be, they turned out to be just an imagination. I thought, sure, this person meant what I heard them say. And I find out on down the road, it works itself out to where it was totally different. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So let's keep these verses when we're looking for, I can't find the way alone, but the Lord says, I've got something for you to be able to help you. I've got the ability for you to be able to bring into captivity every thought. This is not, I cannot keep the thought from coming. Thoughts will come to us, but what I do when that thought has been presented is what's real important. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And while we're in 2 Corinthians, let's look at 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and the 11th verse. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Wouldn't that be good to be able to see when a thought is presented? This one is from Satan. If I even chase it down the road, I know from the beginning, this one will cause me trouble. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. The news today. You know, I believe there was a time when news was just that. It was just telling you what happened yesterday and leaving the rest up for you to decide what you thought about it. You know how much today news is intended to influence you one way or another, to influence your thinking instead of just this is what happened yesterday, this is what happened, and let us go ahead and tell you what to think about it. So it has a way to influence us. What about just advertising itself? Advertising is intended to do that. It's intended to produce a thought in me. Seem like it happens especially around Christmas time. Here comes some advertisement of a new product that is out. You ever see how much better it works on a commercial in a paper where they're telling you, or you Google it and it says, look at this thing, it just works every time. It does it a whole lot better in the ad than it does once you have purchased it, it seems like. But that was intended. Just the advertisement itself was intended to start a thought going in my head. You know what that thought was supposed to be? I can no longer live without this product. I have got to have it. It's the next thing that I've got to be able to have. And you know, it's amazing that millions of dollars are spent on advertising. Why is it? Because they realize it's so important. I've got to get the thought presented to them. And you know, if I miss it when the thought hits them, if I have not been able to put it strong enough, then it's a passing thought and they're going on to something else. So I was thinking about the millions of dollars that's spent in advertising to get somebody to say, I've got to have this. It produces a thought. And more than just a thought, it's got to quickly add more to it that I've got to have it. Well, what about this one? You go down on any of the interstates and you'll see a billboard that is just flashing. Pretty colors. And it shows a person there with a handful of cash and just busting out laughing. Did they just come out of the bank? Mm-mm. It was a casino. I see it when I'm going to Shawnee. You can almost see it any direction you go anymore. There's another one down there. And they are just laughing like everything with a big old handful of cash. What was that advertisement put there for? So that as you're driving by that exit, it wants to tell you, pull on in here and get you some. We got it here for everybody. It's just your turn to come on in. Well, advertising is intended to produce a thought. They never intend for that thought to continue to where I see the folks that are driving out and they have lost all the money they have and they're fixing to have to explain it to their wife when they get home how there's no money. That's not the thoughts we want to present. You know, that's the way the devil is. In so many things, he will try to present a thought. It can be a billboard that's advertising liquor, beer. And it's just the happiest people that can be. And I've never seen them advertise the person like we see downtown that cannot walk a straight line. All they're asking for is give me one more drink. You don't see that. The devil wants to work in our thoughts. He wants to present things to us. But I am so thankful that as these scriptures says, we can bring into captivity every thought. And we're going to need the Lord's help to see that. Because the first time that a thought is presented, we cannot sometimes tell which direction it's going. It may seem like this is the way to go right here. But the Lord can help us to be able to see the direction. We have a song that says, my soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. And hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. There are forces at work today intending to influence what we think. And the end of it all is for me to be lost at the end. But the next verse says, oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle never give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. There's another song that says, watch and pray. The tempter may be near us. Keep your heart with jealous care. Lest the door a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. And almost always when we look at this, you have to think of King David. At a time when thoughts was presented to him, but it's what he did with that thought. There was no sin committed when he stood on his roof and saw Bathsheba. It was what he did next with that thought. It's going to be the same thing with us when thoughts are presented to us. It can be attitudes toward other people. There are so many things that it can be. But I've been thinking, those of us that are older here today can look back. Ministers over the years have warned us about things in our life. And I'd like to share a few of them with you. Because I can either look at it at the surface and say, you know what, that is old stuff that they have been saying. Or now I can start realizing, whoa, these are some things that influence my thinking. Do you remember in the past warnings given about the literature we read? A minister saying, be very careful of the books that you read. With us dealing with this subject today, what's the reason for it? A book or anything that we read plants a thought. Its whole purpose is you read a book and you take on the thinking of what that book is doing. You're just reading it. Well, the warning is be careful of the things that I allow to come into my thoughts. There are things that I have no control over that come into my thoughts. I can be going down the road and just a thought comes to me and I've got a choice to make. I've got to get rid of it or I continue to feed it. It can be a billboard that we see that plants a thought. But it's the ones that I make a choice on and I take it. And that's where we deal with this about, you know, where books seem like that's old time stuff anymore. But maybe now it's not a book that I read. Maybe it's an online book that I hear. Does it promote godliness? Will it help me in controlling thoughts and still be able to please the Lord? There's another area that I remember ministers used to tell us about, be very, very careful about. And that is the songs that I listen to. You know, when we used to go to Monarch, that minister would say, there's a message in every song. I never realized how much that what he was saying was true. There is a message in every song. And ministers used to tell us, be very careful of what you allow yourself to listen to. So now when we think about with this subject, if I think about country music, country songs, you know what? I want to go to heaven. And I'm going to have to deal with thoughts. And you know what? It's going to be enough to deal with just the thoughts that got planted and I have to get rid of. What am I going to do about the thoughts that I accepted and I listened to? As I was thinking about this, and I think it's good, young people, for you to think about. As you get up on your own out in the future and you can make a choice what you listen to, remember what you listen to is planting a thought. That is either going to draw you closer to the Lord or it's going to cause you to drift from it. As I listen to it, it's producing thoughts. Would I be able to please God if I lived what that song is saying? It's something for, remember where we're saying in here? Bringing into captivity every thought. This is an area that I want to be very careful about. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 11, it says, for behold this selfsame thing, when you sorrowed after a godly sort, what a carefulness it wrought in you, what a clearing of yourselves. For us to have a desire to live for the Lord with such a carefulness that I want to even guard the thoughts that I allow to come into my mind. And you know, really, we'll talk about songs that have evil thoughts. Every song has a message to it. You know what? Our red songbook and all the songs that we sing in service were intended to do the same thing. They were intended to plant a thought in our mind. I've got one that I would like for us to sing together because this one should plant a thought in our mind. It would be a good thought to carry through the day. It's song number 41. To God be the glory for all he hath done, for life and salvation, the gift of his Son. To God be glory, rejoice in his name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. To God be the glory, to him it is due. His help is unfailing to us
He is true. To God be the glory. Rejoice in His name. To God be the glory. Forever proclaim. Though I was a captive, from sin He did free. In time of affliction, my healer is He. To God be the glory. Rejoice in His name. To God be the glory. Forever proclaim. To God be the glory. His mercy extol. For all He doth give us, for body and soul. To God be the glory. Rejoice in His name. To God be the glory. Forever proclaim.
So what about if you got up in the morning and you chose that that would be the song that you allow your thoughts to be? What a difference it would make for your day that day. I'd like to go to a verse in Psalms 40 and 5. This talks about God's thoughts. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Talking about God's thoughts toward me. Well, what it made me think about is that also my testimony about Him? How much of the day, through the day, do my thoughts go toward Him? Could I say at the end of it, it's more than could be numbered? Or is it I say, boy, I had a lot of thoughts today, but I'm sorry, I just really didn't think about You very much. Lord, help me to be able to bring into captivity every thought. There is another place of warning for us, because the devil would like to take advantage of us. What he would like to do is when a thought is presented, the devil would like to say, tell you what, if you were a Christian, you'd have never had that thought come to you. Well, what I can come back to the Lord with the Lord's help, come back to Satan with is, I can't control a thought that comes, but I can control what I do next with that thought. And I also do think that I can bring into captivity enough to where the devil says I'm wasting my time to come so often with other thoughts. So here's another place that I would like to look at. Those thoughts that are presented that are not in my control, God will help me with. God tells me to take care of some things myself. Here is one in Psalms 101 and 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. You know, this is an altogether different section right here. This is not that thought that was just presented to me and I have to deal with it. This is thoughts that I accepted to come in. That's why I believe ministers have warned us in the past. There's a great danger when you listen to music that tells you things, that plants thoughts into your mind that you're going to have to deal with. If you live that way, you would displease God. This one says, I make some choices. I'm not going to set any evil thing before my eyes. You know, for many years, ministers warned us against the television. Is that an outdated message? Some say that is an old message that is outdated. Has the content that is given, has it improved over time? I was thinking of this. Hollywood promotes things today that would not have ever been accepted in society a few years ago. And what their intention is with that is to plant thoughts. That seems like that is old stuff. Every one of us probably have a phone today that you can access more than that television would ever put on for you. You can maybe access everything the television would give plus more. The internet. So much is available to us. And you know what I find is, if I'm going on it with a pure desire, I have some business that I need to conduct on it, and all of a sudden something pops up. It's that thing that I did not set it in front of my eyes. There's some special protection for that from the Lord. It's the ones that I choose to go down those roads is when I am putting myself in danger. There is a verse in Matthew, one of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 and 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what I'm desiring to do is keep my heart pure. And to be able to do that, I have got to make choices about the thoughts that are coming in. So the thoughts that I know will be destructive for my soul, I make choices to separate myself from those. I was looking at Romans in the first chapter. It tells about some people that because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. He just released them to let thoughts come, let thoughts build, just do what you want to do. But in the very end of that chapter, there is a little warning to me because I don't consider myself to be in that category. But there's something that he says in the last verse, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, okay, I don't consider myself in that category, but what about this last part? Have pleasure in them that do it. You know, there is an accounting that I will have to give if I take pleasure in the wrong that someone else has done. What I'm talking about today is the devil would love to get in here and say, nobody can live this. We all can live this. And it's going to take me every day resisting the wrong that is presented. And you know what? I'm not talking about just sinful thoughts all the time. Have you had the thought presented? There are people who have ruined their lives with not resisting a thought of unforgiveness when wrong was done. You know how the devil would love to take that thought and build on it until I not only remember what they did, I know why they did it. I know what their purpose was. And I, you know what? There's people that run it through their minds and are tormented by it for years and then pass it down to their children to carry it on. When if by God's help, I can bring into captivity every thought, even if I was done wrong, what about if I did the attitude that Jesus had when he's hanging on the cross? You know, there had to have been some thoughts presented to him at that time. What did he do with it? He had this prayer. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Stephen, you think thoughts did not go through Stephen's mind when he is being stoned, and here comes another one? You know, easily he could have presented those thoughts back to those people. Uh-huh, you're doing that now. You're going to catch it one day from God. Did he do that? Uh-uh. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, if this one sin right here is what would keep them out of heaven, I want you to clear it from them. Folks, that's taken into captivity every thought and being able to control it. So the things around me that are influences that would like to get my mind on other things, I remember a little song that the children sing. Be careful, little feet, where you go. You know, that's just not for little feet. That's for all of us. Be careful, eyes, what you see. Ears, what you hear. Hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. So be careful in each of these things. Jesus had a prayer. He knew the wickedness that was in the world then, and he knew the wickedness that there would be in our day and time. And so he's praying to the Father in the 17th chapter of John, in the 15th verse. He says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So his plan was not that we would be able to get into a place where we're in no influences of the world, but that we would be able to be kept from the evil of it. Over in the book of Jude, I think maybe we read this one this morning in Sunday school, 24th verse of the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What a plan right there. With all of the opportunities for thoughts to be presented that are trying to take me in all kind of directions, here is him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To have gone through this life and kept my thoughts in the place that I needed them to be, and then be presented faultless before the presence of his glory. There's a prayer that is given in Psalms, and I think it would be good for this to be each of our prayer. In Psalms 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You know what? Meditation is something more than just a passing thought. It's something more than just something was sent to me and I said, no way, I'm not going that direction with my thinking. This now has gone down into where it becomes a little part of who I am and what I would desire to be. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So this is about choices that we make. This is not about a straitjacket that the church tries to put us in. But I think it's good for us to receive warnings that, hey, there's some things out there today that is even worse than when I was a child that would like to present thoughts to you with a plan that in the end I would be lost. Well, there's a song that we sing. Some think this great salvation will stop all their good time. We must not do a thing but sing and pray. You know, it says we do just what we want to, and we go wherever we please. And we can go ahead and add into that what we're talking about today. And I control my thoughts to the obedience of Christ. It's not because the church is watching, they're listening. No, because you know what? Your thoughts are your own. It's just between you and God. We do just what we want to. We go wherever we please. And that's what we're doing here today. And then Lorinda's verse was used again of her song. Let me see Jesus only, dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I, but alive to Christ my Savior, daily to him I'm drawing nigh. You know what? If I hold this as my desire in my life, God is going to help me when a thought comes that I really cannot even see where that will end if I follow it out. And he's able to help me to be able to resist it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, I'm going to have to be able to understand what things I need to resist. Because some things, like the thing of unforgiveness, feels pretty good for a little bit. If I just readily release people that have done me wrong, they won't even hardly see that it was caused me any problem. But what I need to realize is where this thought will carry me out in the future if I allow it. There is a verse in Colossians, because I'm going to have a desire. I want to make heaven my home. And so when I do that, then some things start happening. I have to make some choices. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. You know where affection begins? It begins with a thought. Whether it's an affection, remember that verse that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, it began somewhere. It began with a thought, and it continues itself out. If you've been risen with Christ, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. You think that would help us in being able to discern the thoughts that come to us? If the Lord knows my affection is set on things above, it's not all down here, and he be able to help me with it. I like the one in Psalms when it tells me there's a blessing to this man. The very first chapter, first verse. This man has made some choices. Do you think he has not had some thoughts come in and he's done some things with those thoughts? Blessed is the man, Psalms 1:1, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means there were some thoughts presented to him, counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But here's what he's got, and you know what? These are presenting some thoughts to him. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate is going down deeper than just, well, a little thought came to my head and it's gone in just a little bit. There are some thoughts that we need to do that with. But this meditation takes us down into another area. I was looking at another one in Psalms 63. Because our thoughts are going to do something. We're going to have thoughts. You cannot stop it and just have a blank. So how can we be able to control them? Psalms, the 63rd chapter, and in the 6th verse, when I remember thee upon my bed. Is it just old folks that wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep? What do we think about? You know, I've had my mind go all over the place with thoughts. I mean, it's just like a lightning bug. It blinks over here and then it blinks over here and it's just all over the place. First it's what I need to do tomorrow at work, and then it's you didn't change oil in the car yesterday, and then it's just all over the place, just enough to keep me from being able to close my eyes and go to sleep. Well, look at this one. What if I could get my mind to do this right here? When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Remembering the Lord, it's thoughts presented. Coming to a place to where there's thoughts presented that are scriptures that will be an encouragement and a help to me. So when we look at this, it gives us some direction in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure. So this is a guideline for me to test my thoughts with. Was it true? You know, there's a lot of things that's true that I probably shouldn't be spending much time thinking about. So then I have to say, is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Lord, help me to be able to take control of my thoughts and be able to head them in a direction that would be pleasing to the Lord. I've got one more verse that I'd like for us to look at. This is in Malachi. This tells about some things that the Lord will be able to look at. Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. And look at this last part. For them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. Those that thought on his name, it caused him to have a book of remembrance written. So here's my question for myself. If my daily thoughts were put in a compartment that had the label on it, "These are his thoughts of the Lord today." Would that compartment be large enough to qualify to fit in his book of remembrance? Or could he only say, yeah, he had a passing thought of a scripture, but it was gone and he had other things to think about all through the day? I say, Lord, help me to be able to bring into captivity thoughts, because I'm headed for eternity. Satan knows that. The Lord knows that. It says that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. I want to tell you, this is the place that he will begin to work on every one of us. It all begins with a thought. For me to be lost in the end, if I could trace it all the way back, King David could trace all of his back to a thought that was not taken under control. He allowed it to go. You know, when that thought first came to him, he had no idea that this thing followed out is going to cause me to have a man murdered. It's going to cause me to do things I would never have done. So my prayer is, Lord, those thoughts that I cannot even see where they're going to be going, would you help me? Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'd like to look at one more song, and I'd like for us to sing it. Song number 141. It says, third verse, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander. You ever have yours wander? You know, we're not talking about just sinful thoughts. We're just talking about how your mind can just go from one thing to the other. This says, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. Let me on thy goodness ponder, yea, on things of heavenly worth. I am thankful that he can help us with that. It's going to take, first of all, it's going to take my desire to be able to control it. And then I can ask him, I can't do it. We heard the song, I cannot find my way alone. You know, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to need the Lord to help me even to be able to see this thought right here is not where you want to go for out in the future. Let's get rid of it, and I will help you with that. I am very thankful for that. I have a desire to make heaven my home. Desire your prayers.